Let's go to the first verse. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door to the fold of the sheep, but mounts up elsewhere, he is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There is another door. Right? The Lord Jesus is not talking about the door of the sheep here. He's talking about a door to the fold. And he's talking about himself entering through that door. He's not talking about himself as a door yet for the sheep. He cannot be the door of the sheep unless he himself enters through that door. And he wants to be the door of the sheep, but for him to be the door for the sheep, he himself has to enter through the door. I'm talking this morning about worship, and I am saying we have to die for ourselves to be able to worship him. We have to stop living for ourselves to be able to live for him. We have to really, really be occupied with him and him alone to worship him. That's too much. You're asking too much. What is this all about, dying, and I have to die for myself? What kind of faith is that? It's a faith of somebody who himself died to be able to bring us to him. He's not asking us to die because he's asking us to suffer. He died for us. And in identification with him, we die with him. How many of you carried a cross? How many of us crucified? How many of us were nailed to a cross? How many of us really died? He died for us. He was crucified for us. He carried our guilt. He literally suffered for each and every one of us. And when he asks us today, you have to identify with me. He's bringing us to life. And through his death, we can have life in him. There's no other way. Why are we resisting this? We cannot hold on to all the things that we love in life and still think that we can identify with him. He himself had to go through the door. Let's look at these verses again. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not in by the door to the fold of the sheep, but mounts up elsewhere, he is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the porter opens. There is a porter. The porter is God the Father. And the porter will open the door only to him, the shepherd of the sheep, who enters through the door. To him, the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. The Lord was talking in that chapter, chapter 8 and 9, show himself as the light of this world. Chapter 8, his words are light. Chapter 9, his works are light. And the Jews standing by, led by their teachers, were just a moment ago trying to stone the woman that was caught in the act. But his light showing up, showing them their sins, the stones dropped on the floor. But it didn't drop so far. They were all standing almost in the same place, and the stones are still close to them. So by the end of this chapter, what happened? They grabbed those stones to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. The same stones. So he's talking to them about the difference between the true shepherd and the thief. Thieves who are taking the image of the shepherd, but trying to steal, not to shepherd the sheep. What's the importance of this? Importance of this is what really Satan does. Why again, I'm testing your understanding of very common truth because of this very problem. Satan deceives us by imitation. He imitates things. That's his work. He imitates things. When Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh and started to ask for the people to go out. And for Pharaoh to believe them, they started to do signs. What did the sorcerers and the scribes of Egypt do? They did the same signs, at least the first ones, that they can imitate. This is what Satan does. Satan imitates. The Lord Jesus is talking to those who are in this place, people who claim to be shepherds, claim to be taking care of the sheep, claim to be leading them to the way of God, but they are not true shepherds. They are imitators. How can I know which way I go? Follow the true shepherd. How can I know he is the true shepherd? He entered through the door. What is the door? In a simple word, it's the obedience to God. It's the will of God. It's what God wanted from him. And in this case in particular, what did God want from him? He wanted him to come to this world, live as a man, and die to deliver us from our sins. We heard this morning the beautiful comments that we heard after the message that freedom is not truly means that I do what I want. Freedom is the ability to do what God wants. Because if you're not able to do what God wants, you're a slave. If you're able to do what God wants, you're free. Because there is nothing called do what you want. That's a myth. Nobody does what they want. You're doing what somebody else wants you to do. You think it is what you want because this is what you like to believe. But that's not true. The Lord Jesus did what his Father wanted him to do. This is why my Father loves me. He's saying that. Because I lay myself to take it again. He came to die. And he's asking us today to die with him for this world, for our sins, for everything that we hold dear, to be able to live with him. He entered through that door. He died. And because he entered through that door, he became the door. The grain of wheat abides alone unless it falls into the ground. If he didn't die, we can never identify with him. We can never be one with him. Because he died and rose again, now we can be one with him. Now look at what he's doing here. Look again at John chapter 10. To him, I'm in verse 3. To him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Lead them out of the fold. Remember what I said about the fold? How did I define the fold? The fold here is Israel. You can apply it to anything. But what is the term that I use today about the fold? I said identification with anything else. Sometimes we identify with people in the spiritual world. We identify with certain creeds or dogma or doctrine or behavior or prayer. And we call it what? Denomination. We feel safe there. And what do people rest on in a denomination? They rest on the history, the numbers, the leaders. Nothing about Christ, because he never made a denomination. He actually came to take us outside the fold of religion, the fold of a group of people protected from the rest of the world by certain principles. Principles in a sense of religion, not in a sense of following the shepherd. It's a completely different thing. What did I start with today? I said it's a personal relationship. It's a question of can you see him, can you hear him? And that's again what he's talking about here. Not only that, let's continue.